Amen. Good morning. You may be seated. Well, welcome to church. As just said, my name is Pastor Mark, and I did peak in high school. Unfortunately. I went for a run this week with a couple of the young whippersnappers, the Lafayette Moraga Trail, and gosh, I have to tell you, my knees and my back and my body, I've got parts of me hurting that I didn't know could hurt, which is horrible. But I am enjoying this little series that we've got happening here on heaven and hell. But aren't you glad, before I get into this, aren't you glad that we have the Bible? Amen. That we have truth? Can you just imagine for a moment if you subtracted truth out of society and it wasn't absolute anymore? What chaos would unfold? Think about it. Even just legally, our whole legal system would fall apart, because morality comes from truth. And I can, if I had the ability to declare truth, then I could all of a sudden just say, well, I'm right always. I'm correct, because I have declared it that I'm correct. Isn't it awesome that there is actually an anchor that we can subscribe to, that we believe is absolute, that when storms and trials and challenges come, there's a place that you can go to with the help of the Holy Spirit revealing scripture can actually bring truth into a circumstance? Isn't that awesome? It's actually, I don't know if we really understand the gravity of how significant this is and what it does for our life. I'm really excited about the fact that we get to read scripture, read our Bible, and that up is up and down is down and left is left and right is right. Amen? Amen. So let me pray and we're going to get straight into this word. Lord, we just thank you again this morning, Lord, for inspiring people to write your word. And we thank you, God, for the Logos. But today we pray it becomes Rhema. Holy Spirit, I pray that you bring your word to light. I pray this morning that you would reveal in us, Lord, not so it's extra information, Lord, but it's truth revealed, truth that becomes the foundation upon which we stand. And we thank you, Jesus, you are the cornerstone, the cornerstone that we, Lord, build your house upon. We thank you for this privilege. And everybody said, in Jesus' name, amen. 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 Well, I was hoping I didn't scare anyone off from last week's message. We're doing a little mini heaven and hell. Last week was hell. So we just come out strong and hit you hard with hell right there. And I want you to know that pastors don't create truth. We preach truth. Okay, so this is not Mark's opinion. This is the word of God. And it's our responsibility not just to preach a partial gospel, but a holistic gospel, so that we have a healthy and mature doctrine and a healthy view of God. You know, I shared last week at the start of the message that I think it's most unfortunate that in the 80s and 90s, churches went all the way out to fire and brimstone preaching. Everybody going to hell. Everyone's afraid of God in an unhealthy way. But now the pendulum seems to have swung all the way out to God loves you. God just loves you. It's love without consequence. And it was consequence without love. And I think we should have this healthy balance in between. And by the way, it's actually not between, it's upon. Healthy balance upon the word of God. Amen. For me, what stuck out and a lot of conversations that were had on last week's message on a biblical understanding of hell was the reality of eternity and the urgency of salvation. The reality of eternity. Did you know the question in eternity when we go to be with Jesus, the question, what time is it, is an illogical question. What time is it? Doesn't make sense, because there is no end. So I love about God. God has no beginning and you have no end. I think that's just mind baffling to think that I will spend eternity somewhere. My prayer is with Jesus and God. Another thing that it brought out for me is the fact that we will see Jesus face to face. And I think that in itself is such a wild concept. I wonder what you will do when you meet Jesus and encounter him face to face. Will you just fall on your knees and fall flat on the ground? Or what will be our posture? My key thought from last week, just for the short recap, is heaven seems to be an extravagant multiplication of God's presence, creation, and our understanding of his attributes. It's what it seems to be to me. Extravagant multiplication of God's presence, creation, and our understanding of his attributes. And hell seems to be a multiplication of God's wrath and punishment of sin. So the manner in which you are experiencing reality today, the highs of love, joy, peace, and the depths of pain, suffering, and frustration, from Scripture, it tends to indicate that heaven and hell are a multiplication of the manner in which we experience those realities. In fact, so much so that God creates us a new body so that we can experience his presence or tolerate the eternity away from him. And so last week we took really what I would call a surface level look at hell and the reality of that existence. But this week, let's take a look at the reality of heaven and what that would be like for us as eternity. Is anybody excited about going to heaven this morning? Yeah. Yeah? Everyone's really about spending eternity with Jesus. When you spend a week on this, I don't recommend spending a week studying hell and then going to sleep at night. But studying heaven this week was a whole lot more awesome. So I've got 7 points about what heaven is going to be like, just so that we have somewhat of a biblical understanding of heaven. Isaiah 11, 5 to 9, and most of you in this room are going to be excited about this, is harmony with the animals. It says, he will wear righteousness like a belt and truth like an undergarment. In that day, the wolf and the lamb will live together. The leopard will lie down with the baby goat. The calf and the yearling will be safe with the lion, and the little child will lead them all. The cow will graze near the bear. The cub and the calf will lie down together. The lion will eat hay like a cow. The baby will play safe near the hole of a cobra. Yes, a little child will put his hand in the nest of deadly snakes without harm. Nothing will hurt or destroy in my holy mountain. For as the waters fill the sea, so the earth will be filled with people who know the Lord. Do you know how comforting that is to an Australian? Amen. I read that and thought, you mean all the animals are not trying to kill me? See, when you come from Australia, everything is trying to kill you. Every animal, every bug, every spider, every snake, every octopus. You heard of blue ring octopus? Have you heard of the box jellyfish? In a place called Mackay, there's this thing called, up in the North Queensland, there's this thing called Irukandji. It's the size of my pinky fingernail. If that thing touches you, your whole body goes into a nervous breakdown. You can't see it. And when I read that this week, I thought, this is incredible. There's a place where brown snakes, the deadliest snake on earth, which is in Australia, and it's one of the most aggressive snakes on earth, is not going to actually try to chase you down and eat you and bite you. I'm excited about that. Can you imagine what it would be like in heaven? Just think about this. Some of you will experience your first real bear hug. A real, not a koala bear, a bear hug. Isn't that phenomenal? God's extravagant creation that we will get to experience. I wonder, on the palette of creation, how many more creatures and animals we'll get to experience. And see, there will be peace throughout all creation, something that we've never experienced. And I wonder what that would look like. I wonder, will we have pets? Some of the research I did said that we will have pets. Imagine holding on to a great white shark like people hold on to a dolphin's fin and just be dragged along. This would just be mind-baffling. Number two, a convergence of people in timelessness. I don't know if you've ever thought about this, but we're all going to come together at once. throughout all different stages of history. You will be able to have conversations with people from all different times and places. Matthew 8:11 says, and I tell you this, that many Gentiles will come from all over the world, from east and west, and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob at the feast in the kingdom of heaven. So I don't know if you caught that. There's food in heaven. A feast. How awesome will it be? And I wonder how good that food is actually going to be compared to what we experience here right now. Do you know, I thought about this scripture here, the feast in heaven. Did you know 9 million people still to this year die every year from starvation? And so for some people, when they read this, this is pure hope to think, wow, one day I'm going to feast and I will not worry every single day about where my next meal is going to come from. There's a famous photo that was circulating that won a Pulitzer Award by a guy named the name Kevin Carter. In heaven, there's no more this, as the vulture waits for the young child to pass. There's a feast in heaven. Your needs are no more. You have no need in heaven. You can take that down now. That's a hard figure to hear, 9 million, when in 2022, 1 billion tons of food waste was generated on our planet. And of course, there's multiple different issues around that with transportation, storage, distribution. It's a very complicated, complex thing. But I just love the idea that we will feast at the table in heaven. But just think, there's going to be a convergence of people from all different eras and different stages and different seasons of this current reality in which we live. And based on scripture, I believe that we'll actually be able to have conversations with these people from all throughout history. Imagine what it would be like to sit down with Martin Luther as he posts his 95 Theses, which was basically paving the way for the Protestant movement, that we can go directly to God, not the authority is the church or the authority is the Pope or the authority is this, but we can actually commune and have relationship with Jesus ourselves. The risk that he took, that would be a fascinating conversation, correct? Imagine what it would be like to ask the Apostle John why he added this little detail in Scripture outside, of course, we know the Holy Spirit. John 20, verse 3, 4. Peter and the other disciples, this is after the resurrection, started out for the tomb. They were both running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. Why'd you put that in there? Here's another one that I often ponder is Zacchaeus. And I wonder if he's actually mad at Luke for writing this. Luke 19, 3. He tried to get a look at Jesus, but he was too short to see over the crowd. Did you have to put that little detail in there? Or could have you just left that bit out? Sorry, it's the Holy Spirit. It's inspired. But to think that we would get to have relationship with people of the Bible is amazing. And also believe that we'll be reunited with lost ones and loved ones. People that we love. People, loved believers who had a real relationship with Jesus. We will be restored. We'll be able to have conversations with them. Revelation 7, 9, and 10 says this, after I saw a vast crowd too great to count from every nation and tribe and people and language standing in front of the throne and before the Lamb, they were clothed in white robes and held palm branches in their hands. And they were shouting with a great roar, salvation comes from God, from our God who sits on the throne and from the Lamb. Together in worship, in the presence of God, is going to be unbelievable. Number three, I don't know if you realize this, but you have a home in heaven. You have a home. In fact, Jesus describes it for us in John 14, 2. Says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I wouldn't have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And here's the best part. No yard work. No yard work in heaven. Everything is perfectly created. I'll tell you, I thank God for the property that God has given us, that's part of the favor that Jose is believing for, the next 10 years or the greater years. I thank God for the property, but man, that's a lot of grass to mow. Oscar and I had a good fun lawn mowing day there on Friday, and the hardest part about mowing the grass is knowing that it's going to come back. It's going to come back. I wonder if the grass is just kept perfect in heaven. There's no need for that. Isaiah 65:21 says this: they shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat their fruit. So there is productivity. There are things for us to do in heaven. We're not just going to stay in a continuous place of worship. I believe that there will be different activities. We'll be building relationships with people and enjoying God's presence and enjoying all of the wonderful creation. And I just think the discovering of God's attributes is going to be absolutely amazing. Number four, perfect physical health. Perfect physical health. Isaiah 35, 5 and 6 says this: and when he comes, he will open the eyes of the blind and unplug the ears of the deaf. The lame will leap like a deer, and those who cannot speak will sing for joy. Springs will gush forth in the wilderness, and streams will water the wasteland. Did you know that the globe spends around $9.8 trillion per year on healthcare? $9.8 trillion. That is a lot of money. That's for every $10 every person spends, $1 goes to healthcare. You know, there's no doctors in heaven. There's no more physical checkups. It's done. It is finished. Over $100 billion is spent globally on pain medication each year. And depending on your definition, a broad definition of pain medication, over $100 billion just to cope with the physical pain. And again, I can say after my run the other day, you know, I believe we're going to have a body that can actually physically do work and run and enjoy, and you'll be able to leap and gallop and do all of these wonderful things in God's presence, and you won't get tired. Your body will be sustained. All sickness and disease is gone. No more migraines, backaches, toothaches, no more aging, no more death. In fact, no more prescription eyeglasses. I can't see a thing. All that will be gone. You will never see a doctor, which means that you will be in perfect health. Your new body is eternal, and you will never feel tired. Revelation 21:4 says this: he will wipe every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. All these things are gone forever. Now, I find it very difficult to imagine what that actually is going to be like. We've acclimatized so much to being in this broken, fallen world. But just think, pure freedom in Christ, pure joy, no pain, every tear wiped away. Number five, the tree of life. Now, most of us are familiar with the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in the Garden of Eden and what happened when Adam and Eve partook of its fruit. And there was revelation that took place, and they became aware of the knowledge of good and evil. In Genesis 3:22, it says, then the Lord God said, look, the human beings have become like us, knowing both good and evil. What if they reach out, take fruit from the tree of life and eat it? Then they will live forever. Revelation 2:7 gives us a little bit more insight into this tree that's in heaven, in the Garden of Eden. It says, anyone with ears to hear must listen to the Spirit and understand what he's saying to the churches. To everyone who is victorious, I will give fruit from the tree of life in the paradise of God. Revelation 22, verse 1 and 2 says, then the angel showed me a river with the water of life, clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and the Lamb. It flowed down the center of the main street. On each side of the river grew a tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, with a fresh crop each month. The leaves were used for medicine to heal the nations. Man, I wonder if that means that instead of one tree producing one particular fruit, this one tree can produce 12 different types of fruit, and new each month. And I wonder what that would actually taste like. Because you've got to imagine, if God has created this, then it's going to taste incredible. It's going to be one of the best meals that you've ever had. And I would think that that sounds a whole lot better than the chemically sprayed and hormone injected food that we're eating today. And all of the potential issues that it causes. You know, I was thinking about, we fasted in January, and if you've ever done a prolonged fast, one of the things that happens is your senses really heighten. It's like you become a Michelin star chef taste buds for some reason. I don't know why it is, but and I remember when I finished my fast and I picked up a diet Sprite, sugar-free Sprite. I just wanted to try it. It was the first time I'd just been drinking water. And I could, and I promise you, it felt like I could taste the chemicals in the drink, and it was disgusting. Something that I usually liked. It was like a nice, refreshing a drink, but now it's like, oh my goodness. And then I would eat some food, and if the food wasn't good food, like it was unhealthy food, it tasted terrible. Do you know what tasted amazing? The stuff that comes out of the ground. An apple, an orange, a banana, those things, the flavor was multiplied. And it got me thinking, I wonder when it comes to us in heaven, if our taste buds in our new body is going to be heightened in a manner. Isn't God so kind that he cares about that tiny little detail for us, that we would experience in that way? And doesn't this just get you excited to share the gospel, the good news of what Jesus died for, so that we can go to that place and be with him? In fact, you were created by God to be in that place. Also, Diet Coke was terrible as well. Number six, God will dwell amongst us. God will dwell amongst us. This is both terrifying and wonderful, all in the same. If you've been in a relationship with God long enough, there should be this healthy fear of who God is. We are in a New Testament context. In the Old Testament, can you imagine when they talked about the presence of God, the fear that would come over people, a healthy, respectful fear, because as the priests would go into the Holy of Holies once a year, if there was sin in the camp, sin in his life, and he hadn't completed the rituals correctly, then he would die in the presence of God. Your body, in its current reality, cannot survive in the presence of God if God showed up and was here right now in the room. Revelation 21, verses 1 to 3 says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth." Oh, and by the way, God is going to renew this earth, and he's going to create a heaven for us that we go to. It says, "For the old heaven and the old earth had disappeared, and the sea was also gone. And then I saw a holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven like a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. I heard a loud shout from the throne saying, 'Look, God's home is now among his people. He will live with them, and they will be his people. God himself will be with them.'" Wow, God's presence will be amongst us. There's no more striving to break through into the presence of God. There's only being in the presence of God forever. I don't know if you know how long that is, but it's forever. It's a really long time. 100 million years will go past, and you haven't even started in God's presence. And that's even if there is a thing called years in heaven. Exodus, this is just after Moses has asked to see God's face. This is him getting the Ten Commandments. Exodus 33:20 says, and he has requested to see God. It says, "But you may not look directly at my face, for no one may see me and live. In our current condition, no man can see God's face and live. God's presence is so powerful that you will need a new body to be able to withstand it." Philippians 3:21 says, He will take our weak mortal bodies and change them into glorious bodies like his own, using the same power with which he will bring everything under his control. You're going to get like an iPhone upgrade, you're going to get a body upgrade. Isn't that awesome? A new, indestructible, heavenly body that doesn't age, that doesn't fatigue, that doesn't get tired, that can be in God's presence. And in fact, the Bible says that even our intellect will increase so that we have the capacity to comprehend God's attributes and know more about who he is. Someone once asked and said, I'm afraid because it's eternal, it's forever, that I'm going to get bored in heaven. And someone imagined that God could spend an eternity whispering something new about himself each day for you to worship him about forever. That's how wonderful and incredible God is. And again, 2 Corinthians 5:1 says, for we know that when this earthly tent we live in is taken down, that is, when we die and leave this earthly body, we will have a house in heaven, an eternal body made for us by God himself and not by human hands. I'm really excited to see what my human body looks like. But now listen to how the Bible describes our new body's abilities. Revelation 22:4 says, and they will see his face, and his name will be written on their foreheads. Your new body with your new eyes can see God. You can see God. Now, I don't know if you know this, but I grew up in Australia, and I grew up watching sunsets and sunrises being a surfer. I would surf in the morning before the sun rose, and I would surf in the evening as the sun would go down, and I would see the way in which the sun's light would hit what's called the Great Dividing Range. It's a mountain range very similar to the Sierra Nevada that we have here in California. It's this mountain range that stretches across the east coast of Australia. And depending on whether it was evening or morning and the way in which the light was hitting the Great Dividing Range, it was like a different mountain range in a different show each time. It was majestic. It was so beautiful to watch, and especially some of the sunsets. In fact, if you come to our 6 a.m. prayer meeting, you'll be able to see the sunrise over from behind Mount Diablo, and it's beautiful. The cloud colors and the arrangements, it's such a wonderful thing to see. But just like a dog sees in black and white, did you know this? Dogs don't see color, they see in black and white. Their eyes are limited. I think our current eyes are actually limited. Imagine what it's going to be like when the light of God lights up. Because you know that heaven, there's no sun in heaven. It's God's glorious light of who he is. And there's no nighttime. So I don't know if there's any sleep. I don't think, I'm speculating right now. But the glorious light with these new eyes that can see God's face, that can withstand the glorious light of who God is. That's how in your new body, that's how God has created you to be. Quite some time ago, I talked about the discovery with light, isotropic and anisotropic jewels. And it's only until this last generation that we've been able to control light. Usually you turn a light on and it just splashes and goes everywhere, but now we can create lasers and we can shine beams of light through jewels. And what happened was scientists made this amazing discovery with precious stones using cross-paralyzed light. They could take a precious jewel, shine the light through it, and one of two things would happen when they shine the light into it. It would either turn black and you would see nothing, or it would produce an array of brilliance like a rainbow, and it would bring out all of these incredible colors. In fact, you can see this first one here when they shine the light in. This is the spectrum. Of course, this is not doing it justice with our eyes here, but it was an incredible discovery. The two kinds was isotropic, which is, by the way, ladies, diamonds are isotropic, means nothing happens. Diamonds are not forever. But anisotropic jewels create this beautiful brilliance, and it's absolutely amazing. Now listen to this. Revelation 21:19 says, the foundations of the wall of the city were adorned with all kinds of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, that one, the fourth emerald, the fifth, another one, sardius, chrysolite, and the eighth beryl. I've never even heard of these guys. Topaz and the tenth, yep. Jacinth. Oscar, come up here for a sec. I need you to read. No. Amethyst? All right. Oh, sorry, I got an Australian education. What's incredible about these 12 jewels that you can see on the screen, what they discovered, is all of those that are listed there are actually all anisotropic. All of the jewels that create this brilliant, beautiful color, all are anisotropic. How on earth did John on the island of Patmos could have never possibly known that those 12 stones are all the anisotropic stones? And that's lays the foundation in heaven. They're some of the stones that are used in the New Jerusalem that God is creating for us. The Bible's incredible. Isn't that amazing to think? And I think, if I'm just guessing here, that with the new eyes that God gives you in your new body, that we are going to see reality on a whole nother level. It's going to be phenomenal. Just like right now, I love taking my family when they visit to see Yosemite, to see Tahoe, to see all of the great things that we have on offer in this country, this beautiful country. I believe it's nothing compared to what God's about to do. This new heaven and this new Jerusalem is going to be jaw-dropping. It's so much so that you are going to need a new body to be able to comprehend it and experience it. And God's presence is going to be amongst us. Amen. Revelation 22:5 says, "And there will be no night there, no need for lamps or sun, for the Lord God will shine on them, and they will reign forever and forever." 1 John 2:15 says, "Do not love this world nor the things it offers you. For when you love the world, you do not have the love of the Father in you. For the world offers only a craving for physical pleasure, a craving for everything we see, and pride in our achievements and possessions. These are not from the Father, but are from this world. And this world is fading away, along with everything that pleases, that people crave. But anyone who does what pleases God will live forever." So I think that we should keep this current world and reality in the correct context. We should think about it in its current context. The Bible says that the enemy is the prince of this world, the prince of the air. And so I think that he would do everything in his power to preserve this, because he doesn't want this earth to be destroyed. He doesn't want that. You know, I think about this. The Bible says, it says in 2 Peter 3:7, "And by the same word, the present heavens and earth have been stored up for fire. They are being kept for the day of judgment, when ungodly people will be destroyed." You know, God baptized the earth with water in Noah's flood once, and then it will be burnt up in fire in God's wrath and God's judgment, and a new earth will be created for us. And I think that this new earth, it won't just be a Garden of Eden, it will be an earth of Eden for us and our pleasure to enjoy and be in God's presence. You know, surprisingly, when you talk on the topic of heaven, one of the biggest worries people have regarding heaven is, how will we know that it won't become boring after a million years? I'll tell you this, it won't be boring. It won't be boring. And and here's how I'll prove that. Are you bored now in this earth, in this creation? There's so much stuff that we can do here now, so much to enjoy, so much travel that we can go to other countries, so much that we can experience with incredible food and relationships and joy. Heaven is 10 times that. No, correction. Heaven is infinite times that. It is so much more. Even with the fall of man in our current condition, there is still so much joy, peace, and love. The Bible and this is a quote from John Piper, the Bible is trying to help us adjust our minds to the inconceivability of the glories and the happinesses of heaven. The happiness of heaven. We live in this broken world. We live in this fallen state. But the reality is that you were never created to be in a broken world. You were created to be in God's presence, united and connected with Him. Now, I know that when I write a message like this, this is joy and this is hope. This is the hope for mankind that imagine thinking that when you die, that's it. I find it very difficult then to answer and define the word purpose. If I just, and that's it, and no one will remember my name. I don't know anyone's, not many people's names, 99.9% of history, I don't know anyone's names, just a flower in the field, a wilting flower in the field, a speck of dust passing through time. But when you read this and you hear about Jesus and what he did, and you start to see, no, this is not the end. This is the launch pad. This is the beginning. Now I can define purpose. It changes the priority and priorities of my life, the manner in which I live my life, because I am now no longer bound to the curse of this world, living in with a terminal mentality. No, when I received Christ, an eternal light went off inside me. Now I realize that God has placed and put eternity in my heart. And so now I can see that there's so much more to accomplish here in this life for the next. I don't think now just mark me, mine, and my. I now have allowed, and by asking the Holy Spirit to come into my heart, I'm now thinking outside of what God has called me to do. It just makes it so much more exciting. I'm seeing God work in people's lives, and I'm believing that the eternal revelation and reality will switch on in us, and we wouldn't get stuck and chained to and fall in love with what's currently happening just here. We're going to think long-term and big picture. And of course, all that is because of what Jesus did. When Jesus came and he died on a cross, we created the problem, sin. We created the separation. Our sin separated us from God, but God had a plan. God's plan was to send his son Jesus to die on a cross, and he satisfied the wrath and the love of God all in one moment so that we could be right reconciled back to our Heavenly Father. You don't have to go to hell. We choose to go there. It's our choice to reject Jesus or accept Jesus into our heart. God, in fact, I know Jesus is creating a place for us in heaven to be with him. God takes no pleasure in the wicked dying and going to hell. God takes no joy and pleasure in that. God's heart is to reconcile with his creation, with his children. You are created by God to be a co-heir in Christ. You are created by God to be in his presence forever with him. And so God, this morning I pray, Lord, that all of us in this room, under the sound of my voice, would allow you to speak to us afresh and anew, Lord, about the reality of eternity and the urgency of salvation. God, I pray, Lord, that we would be eternally conscious. Lord, that there would be a passion and a heart, Lord, from the power of your Spirit, Lord, to care about what you care about. God, I pray, Lord, that we would love what you love. God, I pray that we would seek you in a new, fresh way, Lord, so that we wouldn't get caught up in the trimmings and trappings of this world. Lord, deceived into purposeless, pointless things, Lord, that eternally have no significance. God, I pray, Lord, that there would be, Lord, a spiritual awareness, Lord, in this next season. God, I pray that you would begin to change the way that we see the people around, Lord, that you've brought into our life. Lord, you've chosen for some reason to partner with us to reach people in this world. And God, I pray, Lord, that there would be, Lord, a new set of eyes, Lord, to see what's happening spiritually. Lord, not on the surface level and reject, but Lord, to open up and see exactly the way that you've created us to. God, I pray, Lord, this morning, Lord, for anyone who's away from you. Lord, I pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would convict their heart. Lord, not because, Lord, you hate them, Lord, but because you love them. Lord, we thank you that the motivation behind your conviction is love and reconciliation. And so, God, I pray, Lord, if anyone is in that place, Lord, I pray that they would make a genuine commitment to you to receive you into their heart and make you Lord of their life. God, I pray, Lord, for the awareness of sin, the damage of sin, and what it does in our lives, but ultimately the disconnect that it creates between us and you. And God, I pray, Lord, for every man and woman who knows you, Lord, to be over this next season, Lord, awakened more to the fact, Lord, that eternity is forever and salvation, Lord, is urgent. Lord, we thank you for it. Everybody said, amen. 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 Well, I want to encourage you to do your own research over this next season regarding heaven and hell and the reality of eternity and the insignificance and urgency of salvation and what that means for us as a group of people who love God. There's plenty of people out there who need a relationship with him. And as a church, we want to be the kind of church that encourages and invites people into that space. And with that, I want to encourage you as well. We've been in this season, started out this year with prayer. I want to encourage you, if you have the free time, it's not to not let the candle go out or the fire go out, but let's continue to pray at our 6 a.m. prayer meeting as we pray for all the things that God's doing in and through the life of this church and all of the people that God. Finally, this week, and I'll finish with this, is we have what's called a charrette meeting with architect. These are the people that the board has signed off and approved that we're going to be working with for our future plans with the building. It's really exciting. These guys are experts at coming in and helping us and guide us with what we can do with the current property that we have. Amen. We don't want to get into a position where we're guessing. These guys know all about how to do it. They've done thousands of churches before, so it's really exciting for us. That meeting is happening on the 27th and the 28th of April. Please be praying for us as a group of people pre-selected based on what this organization requires, and the group of people will come in and we're going to share our feedback and they're going to listen to us. Also, I want you to know we've done our research. We've actually been visiting other churches that they've worked on, and we've seen the work and we've seen the results, and it's actually awesome as well. And finally, what that means is potentially, I'm hoping so, next week we'll be able to come to church with some drawings and some images of potentially what our future is going to look like. Isn't that really exciting? Yeah, really exciting. 10 years in the making, and God's just getting started with this church, amen? And so much, I really do believe that the sacrifice of this current body is going to provide a way for future people that are going to encounter Christ in a real way. Jesus is coming back, amen? And he's preparing his bride, and that is you. So with that, have a wonderful week, and we'll see you in church next Sunday. Hey, thanks again for taking the time to listen to our online service. If today's message blessed you, you can like and subscribe to our YouTube channel, or if you've got a question, you can email us at hello@exchangecc.com.